All right, the best kitchen substitutes. Now, I was looking at this and I'm like, holy crap, I could probably talk for a very long time on this because there are so many things, but I don't want this to be an overwhelming thing. I really don't, because what good is that for you? Nothing. If you hear a million things that you have to do and you do none of them, well, there's a waste of your time and my time. And I don't want that to happen. I want you to just find a few things. So what I did was I took the five or six most common things, and that's what we're going to be looking at. All right. And, you know, we're going to, like I said, with these monthly teleseminars, I'm going to be covering a lot every month and fielding any of the questions that you have as well. So just if you have a question about, like, well, how else could I do something, or what about this, then just make sure at any time you can always access me, Joe at joecarabassi.com, J-O-E at Joe, C-A-R-A-B as in boy, A, S as in Sam, E.com. As you see, it's a nice Irish name. All right, kitchen substitutes. We have flavoring. So for flavoring, there's some different options. Italian seasoning is awesome because basically it's just dried up herbs that taste delicious. You're not going to get anything bad from it, all right? So that's a very good thing to add. Get rid of your salt and pepper shakers, please. Like, you don't need them on your kitchen table. I hate seeing them in restaurants because I can go to for a cheat meal at, you know, a beautiful place, say on Andover Street in Boston, you know, the best food in the world. And you'll still see people, before they even touch their dish, they just pour salt and pepper on it. It drives me mental. My grandmother does. It drives me freaking crazy. How do you know I need salt and pepper? You've never had it before. You don't know. You haven't tasted it. Ugh. So get it out of there. You know, you don't need that stuff. What I would recommend instead of, you know, I recommend the Italian seasoning, but instead of the pepper, if you want something with a little bit of kick, is red pepper seeds. You don't need as much of them. And Caspian, which is a proponent or component in hot peppers, is proven in nature to burn body fat. So it's a fat burner, and you know, it gives you the kick that you want. You know, and you know, not that pepper itself is the worst thing in the world, but what is its benefit? Can't think of any. Don't know any. So, you know, when you're eating, try to add flavor with stuff that's going to benefit you, not just stuff that's going to give you flavor, because that's where you run into trouble. From there, if you're going to have salt, sea salt is better. Just the way it's processed is better. All right. Anytime you want to add oil to a cooking dish, so when you're cooking something at moderate heat or above moderate heat, use coconut oil and red plum oil. All right. Do not use, I'm actually clapping. I don't know if you can hear that. I don't know why. I'm a very weird person, apparently. Coconut oil and red plum oil are the best to cook at when you're cooking in high heats. Olive oil, on the other hand, its composure gets compromised at a high heat. So it turns into a fat that is no longer good for you. It goes from a monounsaturated fat, which has a million good reasons why you should have, to a trans fat, which is like the worst thing you should put in your body, in your food. So olive oil is good for you. Don't let anybody tell you differently, especially like for raw vegetables. Load those suckers up with some olive oil, baby. It's delicious, all right? But if you're going to use it to cook with, other than that, put it on after. That's why it's great on salads. It's great on like chicken after, you know, you cook it. But if you're cooking with anything during it, coconut oil, red plum oil, the best options. Organic ketchup and mustard. That's right, I said it. You can have that stuff. It is not all that bad. Look, you're talking about like organic tomato paste, or you know, or vinegar, and like, I don't know, there's one other ingredient that I can't think of right now, and that's all that is in it, and it's like 6 calories. So look, I'm not really concerned about that if it's organic. If it's not organic, that means it's made with, well, crap. And look, that's not a general statement I just said there. I'm talking about for sauces and some things, if it's not organic, you got to stay away from. But when it comes to ketchup and mustard, especially, because they just throw in other things. Like, you'd be surprised to see some of the stuff that's in like a ketchup that you wouldn't eat. You'd be like, what? Why is this in ketchup? Like, well, one of the things you probably know about, like sucrose and high sucrose corn syrup, that sort of thing, to make it extra sweet. But organic ketchup and mustard, delicious, healthy. Go for it. All right. When it comes to sweets, the best thing, and whether you're baking or, I don't know, whatever else it is that you do, if you're looking for a healthy thing to add in your whatever your dish it is, look at organic honey, probably one of the best sweets you can use aside from coca or cocaya. You know, cocoa, it's done said a million ways, different ways, but you know what I'm talking about. The real chocolate. That's also very good, but also organic vanilla. It's a good thing to add for sweets. Stevia is good as well. However, I have to say I'm not 100% sold on it yet. It's a very new thing. They say natural sweetener or whatever, nature's sweetener. But I think the jury's still out. We'll see what happens with it. I just hate seeing people who are like, oh, well, stevia. So it's stevia. I can eat stevia all day because it's nature's sweetener. And then they get caught up with it. And look, any sugar is addicting. I don't care if it's stevia or table sugar or, you know, any aspartame or anything. Sugar is sugar. So it's going to make you thirstier, make you hungrier. It's going to make your brain crave more of it. So while it's better than table sugar, don't go crazy adding that stuff to your food. Sometimes I hear a lot of people, they're like, well, what do you do for a sweet fix? And I have that as well. One thing I would recommend is coconut. Now, you know, coconut doesn't have to be coconut oil, and I wouldn't recommend that as a sweet fix. It's kind of a weird thing to just have, but regular coconut, like I don't know, cut up coconut. Again, I would go organic there, because if it's, you know, on the shelves, it's been there for a while, then you're going to get different things in it. Although there is a lot of it, it's like a lot of coconut is fat, so it does have its own natural preservative in that sense. But just make sure that, you know, I would go organic there if you're going to do that. But that's a good thing to have. Dark chocolate almond milk. Look, that's not, don't let me confuse you. That's not the healthiest thing to drink. But when I'm saying a sweet fix, I'm saying take a swig out of it and that's it. Like just something that, you know, you don't need a whole bowl of ice cream to get your sweet fix. And of course, there's always flavored gum, works great, as well as you can use some of the white teas out there, some of the herbal teas that have a lot of different berries in them. And then the other thing is, what is the other thing? It's escaping my mind right now. Oh, gum. Flavored gum. There you go. When it comes to baking, I want you to start thinking about using almond flour. If you're not allergic to nuts, that'd be a horrible idea if you're allergic to nuts. But if you're not allergic to nuts, almond flour. Get rid of white flour. There's no place for it anymore. Even wheat flour is better than white flour. So consider that stuff. And if you're allergic to both of those things, almonds and wheat, gluten, I believe there are some other options out there. I can't really speak on it because I haven't actually used it before. But give it a look. Like, we don't have to eat some of this. You know, earlier I was mentioning how the health craze has made food companies, you know, go out and try to take advantage of you more. It's also opened the door for a lot of, like, things that, you know, Eastern civilization has used for thousands and thousands of years, you know, in Asia, that are so healthy for you that we never knew about. It allows for a lot of that to come to the surface. And even out west in America, there's a lot of things, a lot of the health things that we see nowadays here on the East Coast were popularized in the West Coast 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So, you know, there's just a lot out there that not everything, I don't want you to, I'm not a, you know, a pessimist and a negative person. I just want you to be aware that most stuff that you're probably seeing in a grocery store is probably not as healthy if it's claiming to be healthy, but there are some alternative healthy stuff out there. You just got to seek it out. So a good practice might be looking through your kitchen and be like, is there another healthy option for this? And, you know, start the discussion that way, and then, you know, one thing at a time, and take it from there.